Welcome to the Untold Tales audio anthologies. Written by Howard Loring and narrated by Melissa Del Toro Schaffner. The Crazy Old Sandman, or General Mechanics of Warfare. The stranger in the stricken city currently found himself pressed for time, a most uncommon occurrence. The rushing man usually held more than enough of that elusive commodity, for he was, in fact, a time traveler. As a rule, his agenda was fixed and unchanging, and normally it flowed flawlessly. Not today. No, on this occasion, his vaulted calculations were undeniably off. Given the present mission's parameters, that was ironic as well as inconvenient. The subject of this operation was the greatest mathematical mind the world had yet produced. Still, the stranger was running late, and time was of the essence. He did know that the old man he sought had to be nearby, for his general whereabouts on this particular day were well known to history. Yet, the city was large, and given its wall was now breached, many frightened citizens were crowding the narrow streets, intent on seeking a safe haven. There was none. Nevertheless, the determined stranger, who was taller by a head compared to the populace, hadn't accounted for the mass of struggling humanity he'd come upon, and wading through it was setting him behind schedule. The standing confrontation had been underway for nearly 2 years now, an unheard-of circumstance given the combatants involved. The attacking legions consisted of battle-hardened troops, well-versed in siegecraft, and a walled city, as a rule, was no long-term obstacle for them to face. The old man inside was, though, as they had all quickly learned. The Roman commander was especially impressed. Marcus Claudius Marcellus had already subdued the rest of the large island, filling his time while awaiting the city's slow starvation. But this strategy had failed to deliver capitulation. However, always proficient, he was a most observant man, and lately, this crafty warrior had noticed a hidden weakness in the wall. Also, Hannibal was now standing in the wings, so to speak, so Marcellus was truly an impatient general with more battles left to fight. Still, he needed Sicily first. Of course he'd get it, but he wanted the old man holed up in Syracuse as well. For this reason, the night before, he had issued the order. "He must be taken alive," he stressed to his young second-in-command. "This old legend is a wonder, a human enigma. At all costs, he must not be killed." "Sir," protested his earnest second, "that may not be possible. The city will be in chaos. Things happen quickly, and butchering legionnaires don't stop to think." Marcellus looked up at this statement, ready to bark in disagreement. Yet, seeing his junior's earnest, professional demeanor, he didn't. He took instead another approach, employing a different strategy altogether. "We must know what he knows," he said slowly, for emphasis. "You weren't here then. You didn't see it. We were attacked before we even landed, by several monstrosities he'd created. Weapons completely unknown to man." His second knew this. Everyone did. The innovative contraptions were now famous throughout the Empire. The first devices were especially hideous, gigantic towers having movable arms containing huge hooks. These expertly plucked several galleys from the sea itself, hurling them into other ships. It was a terrifying welcome that took many lives. Next came the devastating fire, delivered by the sun's rays, which were employed by several massive banks of polished mirrors, most skillfully directed at the wooden ships and their fabric sails. More time and good legionnaires lost before the invading army, by sheer weight of numbers, had landed and forced the installations at a heavy loss. And all of this grisly action occurred before the formal campaign had even started in earnest. 2 years on land had not altered the stagnated situation. Attacks continued, and always by previously unknown means used to the deadliest of effects. Yes, The old man in the city was a sly one, no doubting that undisputed fact. Yet this changed nothing. Attacking soldiers were not nursemaids, and how could one man and thousands be assured, given the true aim was taking the ancient metropolis? The second saw no sense in such an order. "Sir," he said again, trying harder to press his case, "we don't know where he is, or even what he looks like. With his involvement to date, I'd think a bounty on his head would be the more proper thing. After all, he's the enemy, and I'd gladly exterminate him myself if I only knew who he was." This caused General Marcellus to laugh. He crossed to his comrade and placed his hand on the man's shoulder. Next, he spoke as a mentor, an expert in killing.
"Egypt was strong," he lectured him, "for she had fine chariots while her enemies did not. Yet, they first acquired horses from their adversaries, and now Hannibal has elephants. The victory is ever in the new, and the winning army will always use the latest innovation. It must, to survive, or its enemies will do so first."
Marcellus, as a rule, knew a few things about winning. The man never lost in either battle or politics. Quite the opposite. He'd already been consul 3 times, an unheard-of thing for a commoner, and he'd hold the vaulted office 2 more. As for the military side, the great warrior had risen from nothing without the benefit of family connections or influential friends conveniently placed in upper-level politics. This general had seemingly advanced on merit alone, and he was very good at liquidating the enemy, and also for arranging vast numbers of others to do so. Undefeated in any previous endeavor, Marcus Claudius Marcellus could well afford to be magnanimous now. He patted his second's armored shoulder, affectionately, as a concerned and loving father would do.
"See the bigger picture," he said softly. "This is a great gift, just awaiting the taking, and we should pluck it. Who knows what else he could come up with, given time."
His second in command, a competent man, made the proper connection. The old one was more than just a costly inconvenience. He was a valuable military commodity. Still, this experienced soldier knew the order itself would mean nothing once the real fighting started. The conflagration was well underway when at last the stranger reached the proper district in Syracuse. Yet it raged near the far wall, still at some distance. Before dawn, a small detachment of elite groups, using a blind spot, had crept over and succeeded in opening an isolated, barricaded gate. This hotly contested entry was by definition a bottleneck, but it was only a matter of time before the Romans broke through en masse. He scanned the area, normally a pleasant square that was now full of screaming citizens bent on retreating toward the inner city. The action would do them no good in the long run. This day, Syracuse would see much slaughter. The heavy price paid for siding with Carthage, the Empire's current enemy of choice.
"Where's the master?" the stranger asked a running boy he'd recognized and snagged from the crowd.
"The mathematician, the wise one. He lives near."
"The crazy old man who scribbles pictures in the sand?"
snapped the frightened boy. He was indignant, his attempted retreat so abruptly halted. He shook himself free.
"Behind the fountain!"
he screamed, before scampering off. The stranger made his way over now, easily passing through the quickly thinning crowd. Indeed, the old man he sought, hidden from view and oblivious to the unfolding action around him, was sitting and leaning against the short wall of the fountain. He held a long stick in his hand and was looking down at many figures, ovals and lines that he had drawn in the sand.
"Master," said the stranger, "we must make haste. The time is nigh, for the wall is finally breached. The city's soon to be overrun with invading legionnaires. They'll be looking for you, and, as I've explained, there'll be no safety here."
The old man did not answer. He was engrossed by his symbols, making incisive connections that others would not reconstruct for over 1,000 years. So great was his vast concentration,
that he was quite unaware of anything else around him.
"Master, please!"
begged the harried stranger in a louder voice, and this time the old man turned to look up at him.
"Oh," he observed, "it's you again. Back as you said you'd be, I see. What's that you mentioned? The wall is truly breached?"
The stranger only nodded.
"Well, that's it, I suppose," the mathematician flatly stated. "I've done what I could. These Romans are most persistent."
By now, the square was completely deserted, but the sounds of combat were getting closer, with screams and the din of clashing weaponry filling the nearby streets.
"We must hurry," the stranger reiterated.
The old man sighed, but didn't move beyond looking once more to the symbols in the sand before him.
"No," he said, "I'm close now, and I must know. If time is short, then I will use it well, by making my final connection while I can."
The time traveler was now the one who sighed. He knew further argument was moot. No one, not even he, could tell the great Archimedes of Syracuse what to do. Next, a few defenders ran by the fountain, retreating deeper into the city. The stranger turned and walked into the center of the square. He didn't wait long. A dozen legionnaires appeared, bloody, with weapons drawn. The stranger raised his arms. The Romans, constantly looking to each other, advanced slowly.
"Archimedes is here," announced the tall man in a strong voice. "He wishes to surrender and won't resist. By order of General Marcellus himself, he's to be taken alive."
By this time, other Romans were swarming in like ants to sweet honey, flooding the square. Most, however, kept moving, passing the unfolding situation. The original contingent now surrounded the stranger, effectively sealing him off. A centurion, identified by the plume of his helmet, looked to the ancient, still recumbent figure behind the fountain.
"Are you sure?"
he stiffly asked the taller man.
"Many swine would gladly say anything to stave off their miserable fate. I've no moment to waste. Is this true?"
The stranger, resigned, only nodded. The centurion then grunted and walked over. Time would tell. They both knew.
"Are you Archimedes?"
he snarled. There was no answer as the old man was once more absorbed in his ongoing labor.
"Are you Archimedes of Syracuse?"
then screamed the exacerbated warrior. But again, there was no response. He stepped forward and poked the seated man with his weapon. This was too much for the genius. He'd had enough.
"You're standing on my circles,"
the defeated old man cried out in despair, dismayed by the rude action. Now, the centurion didn't hesitate. There was more killing to be had this day, and he and his men wanted their fair share of the butchering and the booty to follow. Without thinking twice, he dispatched the old man with one blow of his sword.
"Forward, boys," he shouted.
They all ran off, joining the increasing throng of the invading Romans. Then the centurion remembered the stranger, and he turned to confront him. Yet he was no longer there. At this time, General Marcellus was outside the now burning city, being kept abreast of the unfolding action by frequent dispatches borne by unending runners. He had just mounted his horse. A rider approached and pulled up beside him.
"It's done,"
he said to the general, who nodded at the message. They both trotted off, each ruminating the consequences of the finalized event. Soon, Marcellus spoke.
"He had to die?"
the warrior asked.
"There was no other way?"
"None," said the time traveler, now dressed in Roman garb. "It had to be thus, for the world needs time, as I've explained. Events will change, but at a pace, and he would have set things too far ahead of the proper schedule, I'm afraid." But the crafty stranger had again arranged things to place Marcellus in a good light, just as he'd said he would. History would judge the general innocent of involvement in the terrible deed. History would be wrong in this case, of course.
"Archimedes was more than just a very clever man," explained the stranger.
He wasn't only a great mathematician or a superb engineer. He was a true visionary.
Marcellus nodded, being well aware that his companion would know. His enormous powers lay beyond normal understanding. The general knew this, for the unique man had secretly aided his career advancement on many occasions in the past, and this added assistance had always been most effective, with Marcellus ever pleased by the positive outcome. Of course, the great warrior was unaware of the time traveler's broader agenda, given he was ignorant of his larger, ongoing mission to amend the altered flow of history. Yet, with the current operation at last succeeding, this bit of antiquity was indeed corrected. For Carthage would now be denied further weapons born of Archimedes' awesome, fertile mind. And without them, she would no longer expand to conquer the rising Rome, nor usurp her place in absorbing the greater part of Europe. So presently, as history originally intended, Rome would be the empire to rise and fall, and once more, the proper consequences of the original timeline would then naturally follow. And unknown to Marcellus, this would occur because the tall stranger's mission had been successful. Archimedes was dead.
"What now?" he asked. "When will I see you again?"
"Hannibal awaits," was the answer, cheerfully given. "And your future fame is assured. Never fear." Marcellus relished the thought of this, but he wanted details. The Roman turned to inquire further, but he didn't. He couldn't. The horse trotting beside him was now without a rider. The tall, time-traveling stranger, his own mission now accomplished, had vanished.
Thank you for listening. We love our listeners, fans, and patrons here at Untold Tales, and we hope you love the stories that we're bringing to you month after month on the first of each month. Please consider leaving us a review on Podchaser. Once again, thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful day.